This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm News Time on the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have reports from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. As expected, the Federal Reserve Bank bumped interest rates by 0.75%. Fed Chair Jerome Powell offered comments after the central bank meeting. Powell said it will be appropriate to slow the pace of interest rate increases at some point.
Even so, we still have some ways to go. And incoming data since our last meeting suggests that the ultimate level of interest rates will be higher than previously expected.
Powell said he would rather increase interest rates too much rather than not enough.
You know, if we were to over-tighten, we could then use our tools strongly to support the economy, whereas if we don't get inflation under control because we don't tighten enough, now we're in a situation where inflation will become entrenched, and the costs, the employment costs in particular, will be much higher potentially. So from a risk management standpoint, we want to be sure that we don't make the mistake of either failing to tighten enough or loosening policy too soon.
Northern Crops Marketing and Investments President Brad Paulson said the comments of taking a pause from further hikes was welcomed by traders.
He did mention that they were considering taking a break or a lag between further rate increases, and which kind of makes sense to me because it's quite a lag before these interest rates get through the whole economy. It just takes time, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do that next month.
Paulson says the dollar's reaction to the rate increase rather muted.
Well, normally it keeps the dollar strong, but I see the dollar is selling it off here a little bit today. It's down about 80 points at 110.5. The high earlier this fall was 114.75, so we are 4 full points off that dollar high, which will probably kind of evolve into a trading range in that dollar index, I would think. And, you know, the euro's gotten a little stronger. The Canadian dollar's gotten a little stronger the last few weeks here, too. So probably be like the grains, where we're probably going to get into a trading range here as we get into the end of the year.
Russia did a U-turn and rejoined the Black Sea grain deal after getting assurances Ukraine would not use this shipping corridor for military purposes. CHS hedging commodity broker Ryan Kelbrandt describes this global situation as extremely volatile.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen one day to the next, and it has people concerned. You know what's going to happen tonight when we wake up? Are we going to be limit up with a situation where Russia pulls out, or there's some type of, heaven forbid, some type of fighting intensifies? But it's added a premium to prices, and them getting back in is taking a premium out of the wheat and the corn markets.
Lloyd's of London and other major insurance companies are quoting cargo insurance for that Black Sea region. Kelbrandt says those rates are astronomical.
Road blockades across Brazil have slowly come down. The protests began Sunday after Brazilian President Bolsonaro narrowly lost the election. The conservative leader has not conceded the election, but the transition to a new government has started. At its peak, nearly 300 blockades were set up on major roadways throughout Brazil.
Private estimates are being released ahead of next week's USDA supply-demand report. Allendale is forecasting corn production at 13.8 billion bushels, soybeans 4.3 billion. StoneX, a bit more optimistic, corn estimated at 14.1 billion bushels, soybeans 4.4 billion. In October, USDA delivered a 13.8 billion bushel corn number and a 4.3 billion bushel soybean estimate. StoneX also released state-by-state estimates. Corn yields are forecasted 194 bushels per acre for Minnesota, 145 in North Dakota, 142 bushels per acre in South Dakota. For soybeans, StoneX predicting the average Minnesota soybean yield at 50 bushels per acre. North Dakota surveys put the soybean yield at 35, South Dakota in at 41 bushels per acre.
Growth Energy, Renewable Fuels Association, the American Coalition for Ethanol, and National Farmers Union have taken legal action to intervene in a lawsuit in support of an EPA decision. In June, the agency denied nearly 70 petitions for small refinery exemptions under the renewable fuel standard. Oil refiners are now trying to reverse that decision. The agriculture and ethanol groups said the small refinery exemptions were grossly mismanaged in the past. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Handling corn after harvest is important to ensure quality and yield stay top-notch. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
Post-harvest handling of grain is important to keep moisture content where you want it, depending on if farmers are storing or selling. NDSU Extension Agricultural Engineer Ken Hellevang says corn yield has been favorable this year for most farmers.
Yeah, the corn is coming off very well. Most of the reports that I'm hearing are that guys that have reasonable yields are harvesting in that upper teens to around 20% moisture, likely running it through a grain dryer then and putting it into storage. And we have wonderful conditions for that to happen this year.
Hellevang urges farmers to do a moisture test throughout each step after harvest.
I always recommend is that they do another moisture check on the grain, particularly corn that's coming out of a dryer. There may be a moisture variation across the kernel, and sometimes the moisture meter gets fooled because of that moisture variations. And then if we're looking at short-term over winter storage, 15% moisture, corn stores very well. But if we're thinking of storing into next summer, then we really need to be thinking of closer to 13% moisture if we're storing into the warmer summer months.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Vomitoxin is being reported in Ohio, and testing has increased in other parts of the eastern Corn Belt. Vom is a problem for livestock producers and ethanol plants. The increase in testing is also backed up an already busy time at grain elevators.
As Mexico holds plans to phase out glyphosate and GMO corn, consequences will be widespread. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
In December of 2020, Mexico announced its plan to ban glyphosate-treated and GMO corn for human consumption. Research fellow and trade expert Christine McDaniel at the Mercatus Center says part of the devastation would be the trade relationship between the U.S. and Mexico itself.
It would really be overall, you know, upsetting for the U.S.-Mexico relationship, which, you know, I mean, that was sort of the big trade-off, right? Mexican agriculture opens up and U.S. manufacturing opens up. And now if Mexico is going to kind of step back on that, I mean, what is the U.S., you know, what is the U.S. going to do? Are they going to step back on that too? Highly unlikely. So it would really be a move toward an imbalanced relationship.
McDaniel also feels this plan could prove harmful to the large population of Mexico living below the poverty line.
Remember, Mexico is a country where 44% of the population lives underneath the poverty line. And corn is a nice proxy for food prices. So it's really hard to see how, you know, this would help Mexican households. If anything, you know, it will hurt Mexican households overall, but particularly be devastating to the lower income households in Mexico.
McDaniel says whether the ban is in fact carried out is yet to be seen, but that it could turn into a lose-lose situation.
You know, how will U.S. respond to this? You know, usually what happens is when one country violates its commitments it made to another, then the other country will retaliate in turn, right? And, of course, this leads to just a downward spiral in trade protectionism, and you just end up with a lot of losers. A small pocket of winners on each side of the border, but overall each country loses overall big time.
Reporting Agriculture's Business on the Red River Farm Network, I'm Whitney Pittman.
Retail fertilizer prices are trending lower. The weekly DTN survey of ag retailers found the average price for 10-34-0 down 12% from a month ago. DAP, MAP, Potash, and UAN-28 also lower, but the difference is much smaller. Cost of urea, anhydrous, and UAN-32 increased slightly.
Nutrien delivered record earnings in the third quarter, net income of $1.6 billion. There was a temporary reduction in potash sales, but strong fundamentals provided a boost to the bottom line. Nutrien president and CEO Ken Seitz said demand remains strong while global fertilizer supply problems continue. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. South Dakota Stock Growers Association's annual convention and trade show begins today in Spearfish. CEO of RCAF USA, Bill Bullard, said the convention will highlight issues facing the cattle industry.
So it's a very important convention for us, particularly given the times that we're facing right now, which you could view as a perfect storm with inflated input costs for raising cattle. And only recently have cattle prices start to recover, but they only recovered because they experienced the severe market shock. And so our industry is only functioning today when there is a severe market shock that allows what's left of our competitive market forces to actually begin playing in the marketplace.
Bullard also addressed U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack's recent announcement, saying funding for small to mid-sized meat processing is a step in the right direction, but other action needs to be taken first.
So we have to address the lack of competition in the market first. That will create opportunities, not just for cattle producers, but for other entrepreneurs that want to enter the processing arena within our industry. And so we do support what's happening, but we believe that it is we should be addressing the lack of competition first and foremost.
And Bullard will be a featured speaker at South Dakota Stock Growers Association's annual convention Thursday.
The Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer fell 10 points in October to an index reading of 102. Purdue University ag economist Jim Mintert says rising interest rates are becoming a factor.
People are concerned about the increase in prices that they've seen for things like farm machinery and new construction. But we are starting to see some evidence that people are starting to worry a little bit more about the rise in interest rates. If you go back, the first time I think we asked this question was in July, 14% of the people in the survey cited rising interest rates as a concern. The last 2 months, that's been up to around 20 and 21%. It'll be interesting to see after the Fed announcement today what we see in the upcoming survey. I suspect we're going to see more and more people worrying about interest rates and the impact that's having on their farming operation.
Checking markets, we are on the downside this morning. Down 8.25 for Minneapolis wheat. That D's contract at 941, March down 9.5. Chicago wheat, the December contract down 15.25 cents, and KC wheat down 11.25. D's corn down 5.5, 682, March 5.25 lower. January soybeans, 14.25 down, 1440.25. March down by 13.5 cents. As we look in on the farm calendar, IBAN, the Independent Beef Association of North Dakota, has its annual meeting coming up November 18th and 19th. They'll be meeting in Bismarck. The South Dakota Farm Bureau Convention, November 18th and 19th, they're going to be getting together in Rapid City. Minnesota Farm Bureau, November 17th to the 19th in Bloomington, Minnesota. North Dakota Farm Bureau, the 18th and 19th in Bismarck. This is the Red River Farm Network.